2 Timothy 3, 13 through 17. Excuse me, 14 through 17. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And then Proverbs 18, 1 through 4. He who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. When a wicked man comes, contempt also comes, and with dishonor comes reproach. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. You may be seated. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather together here this morning to worship you. Lord, we thank you for the work that you have done and the work that you are doing in our lives. Lord, we thank you that you have given us your word. Lord, we ask that as we look at your word this morning, that you would open our eyes. Lord, that you would convict our hearts. Lord, we ask that you would show us our sin, that you would bring us to repentance. Lord, we ask that you would show us Christ. Lord, that we would see your glory. Lord, I ask that you would protect everyone from my sin, my error. I pray, Lord, that you would teach us now. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of this message is Jesus Christ is our life. Jesus Christ is our life. As we look at these first few verses in chapter 18, we will see a variety of different desires that people can have. And one thing that is clear as we look at these desires that people have, and one thing that our desires show about us, is that they show who is most important to you. Who is most important to you? We can see this in our desires. And this is what we will see in these verses this morning. So who is most important to you? Is Jesus Christ most important to you? Is Jesus Christ your life? Or are you most important to you? You see, these questions are really at the heart of these verses this morning. They're really at the heart of the desires that men have. So the outline, Jesus Christ is our life. Four desires we'll look at this morning. Number one, some desire to have everything their own way. Number two, some desire to reveal their own mind. Number three, some desire to fight against God. And then four, some desire to share the wisdom of God. So as we go through these verses, I pray that God will show us our own foolishness and that we would be reminded that Christ is our life. So number one, some desire to have everything their own way. Verse one, he who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. Here we see the foolishness of man in desiring what he wants, desiring his own will. You see, the man described in this verse is a selfish man. He's a self-centered man. He's self-willed. He wants everything his own way. And when he can't have it that way, he separates himself. He goes somewhere else where he can have it his way. You see, he wants his own way so badly that he'll isolate himself if he needs to. He will separate himself from those who are preventing him from having things his way. And this isolation isn't good for him. It isn't good in any way. You see, this man who separates himself in order to seek his own desires, he has no accountability. He has no one balancing him out. No one speaking wisdom into his life. So you can see this is a dangerous place to be. And the outcome isn't good. You see, this isolation does not end up, you do not end up with a greater understanding. But the opposite is true. His foolish heart is darkened. You see, the trajectory of his life is that he is growing further and further away from sound wisdom. So much so that we see in this verse that he quarrels against all sound wisdom. Now, to quarrel is to find fault, to disagree or dispute, object or complain. Can you imagine? You see, he finds fault with sound wisdom. He disputes against sound wisdom. He objects, he complains against sound wisdom. So we see here the depravity of man. And we can see where this leads us if we follow our own desires. This verse describes a foolish man. While in pursuit of his own desires, he separates himself. He isolates himself from those who are wise. And so we see that his own foolish heart leads him astray. He is so foolish that he actually finds fault with sound wisdom. And so he fights against, he opposes and disputes against what is right. So you see, going your own way is always the wrong way. Now certainly we all have these selfish desires, don't we? You see, our sin nature causes us, we want everything our own way. I mean everything. We want our own way at home. We want our own way at work. We want our own way at church. Everywhere. In everything. We want our own way. And when we don't get what we want, we tend to separate ourselves. Just look around in society today at how short-term all these relationships are. You see, the turnover rate for employment is incredible. You see, we get a job and we work it until there's some disagreement and we can't have things the way we want it, and then we leave, we quit. Or we get married and we say for better or for worse, but really what we mean is, as long as I can have what I want. And then when we don't get what we want, we separate ourselves. We leave. Or certainly with churches, church hopping. yeah, we're happy. We're happy to be a part of this church for now. I mean, as long as I'm getting what I want. But then when I'm not, well, then we separate ourselves. We move on. But just look at this verse. Just look at where seeking your own desires will lead you. Don't seek your own desires. Don't isolate yourself. Don't quarrel against sound wisdom. We must submit our will to God's. Instead of desiring to have everything our own way, we should desire to have everything God's way. He who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. Number two, some desire to reveal their own mind. Verse 2, a fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. Here in this verse, we see where the fool's desire should be, but isn't. And then we are shown where the fool's desire actually is instead. So first, let's look at where his desire should be. The verse begins, a fool does not delight in understanding. You see, but understanding is exactly where his desire should be. Consider a few verses from Psalm 119. And there are many more, but just listen to these concerning the desires and the delight of men. Verse 24, thy testimonies are my delight, they are my counselors. Verse 77, may thy compassion come to me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Or verse 162, I rejoice at thy word as one who finds great spoil. You see, these verses are just a few of many that show where our desires should be, that show what we should be desiring and delighting in. You see, our delight, our desire should be to learn. To learn. You see, if you read through Psalm 119, you will see over and over again a man desiring, a man delighting in God's word, his law, his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances. You see these over and over again. He is passionate about learning more of Christ, more of the Lord and his ways, his wisdom. He desperately wants to grow in knowledge and understanding. And so we too should desire to grow in understanding. We should desire to learn. And then we see here in verse 2 that while this is what we should be desiring, this is not what the fool desires. The fool does not delight in understanding. The fool does not want to learn. He does not want to be instructed in any way. You see, his delight, his desire, is only in revealing his own mind. Do you see how self-centered the fool is here? You see, he loves no one as much as he loves himself. You see, he isn't impressed with anyone as much as he is impressed with himself. And there isn't anyone else that he would rather hear talk than himself. This is the fool. You see, instead of delighting in God, instead of desiring to gain more knowledge of him, the fool delights in himself. He desires only to show and think about himself and what he knows. So learning is not the fool's desire. The fool does not search the scriptures looking for the answers because he believes that he has all the answers within him. And so he looks to his mind, to his heart. He is not a student, but a teacher. You see, the fool has so much to learn, but he has no desire to learn. And while he has nothing to teach, teaching is all he wants to do. And again, understand the selfishness in his teaching. It isn't that he wants you to learn something, as much as it is that he just wants to hear himself talk about himself. He wants to reveal his own mind. So some desire to reveal their own mind, but we should desire to learn from the mind of God. This verse forces us to ask the question, what do you desire? What do you desire? Are you proud? Do you desire only to impress yourself and others? Or are you humble? Are you teachable? Desiring to learn? This is the question. Search the scriptures. Grow in understanding. Love God and delight in him. May it be said of you that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Dear friends, know the scriptures. Search the scriptures. Desire to grow in understanding. Children, don't wait until you're older. Read God's word. Treasure his word in your heart. Have it on your mind. And remember, it's the fool who does not want to learn. It's the fool who does not want to learn. So a fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. Number three, some desire to fight against God. Verse 3. When a wicked man comes, contempt also comes, and with dishonor comes reproach. In this verse, we see one who is an enemy of God. Not only do we see his sins, but we also see here the shame that he brings upon himself. The verse begins, when the wicked man comes, contempt also comes. Contempt is the act of despising, the act of viewing or considering and treating as mean, vile, and worthless. To disdain, it is hatred. So the wicked man does not come bringing gifts, but a sword. He comes looking for a fight. He does not desire peace. And this contempt that he brings is contempt for God. contempt for all things that are good and right. And that includes contempt for God's people. Understand, if you're a child of God, there's a target on your back. But we have been instructed not to be surprised at such contempt. You see, this is nothing new. 1 John 3:11-13 says, "For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the evil one, and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil, and his brother's were righteous. Do not marvel, brethren, if the world hates you." You see, wicked men desire to fight against God and God's people. Make no mistake, the wicked man is an enemy of God. His desire is to fight against God. His desire is to dishonor God, who he should be honoring. And yet at the end of the verse, we see what we all already know, that those who fight against God will always lose. The wicked man brings contempt and dishonor. He wages his war, if you will. But at the end of the day, he will find reproach. He will be disgraced for his sin. His reputation will be damaged, and he will suffer the consequences of his wickedness. Proverbs 29:16 says, "When the wicked increase, transgression increases, but the righteous will see their fall." You see, the wicked man will fall. He will come. He will wage his war for a while. He will not honor God, but he will fall. He will be brought low. He will suffer greatly for his foolishness in fighting against God. So the wicked man has evil desires, and he will suffer for it. When a wicked man comes, contempt also comes, and with dishonor comes reproach. Number four, some desire to share the wisdom of God. Verse 4, "The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook." Now we saw in the three previous verses the desires of sinful man. And we saw how all of those desires are selfish. All of those desires are all about me. They're not in any way seeking to honor God. And they're harmful, both to the fool and to those around him. So now as we look at verse 4, notice how completely different this is from the rest. The desires that we see here are simply for a man to be used by God, to speak as God would speak, sharing not his own wisdom, sharing God's wisdom. Now, before we look at what this verse is teaching, first notice all the references to water here. You see, in this short verse, there are three references to water. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. You see, we need to understand the significance of water in order for us to understand this verse. You see, back then, they were much more mindful of the importance of water for life. You see, for us today, we don't we don't really give a whole lot of thought to it. You know, water is just wherever we want it to be. At the turn of a faucet, there it is. But that wasn't always the case. You see, water was a major concern. It was a major issue. Every day, people spent hours hauling water, not just for people, but for their livestock. People wouldn't just go on a trip. Where the water sources were dictated the route they would take. You see, they were much more mindful of their need and dependence upon water. You see, water isn't just a good thing. It's something that we absolutely cannot live without. And so now, looking at verse 4, the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. You see, now we can see the significance of wisdom. This is a big deal. This is no small blessing. This is so important. So here there are two main points in this verse, and I'm going to cover them backwards. The first point is that wisdom is good, refreshing, absolutely necessary for life and health. Wisdom is such a blessing. And wisdom is in an abundant supply, like a bubbling brook that just keeps flowing. So the first point, which is actually the second half of the verse, is that wisdom is such a rich, abundant blessing. It's like water, but way better. And the second point of the verse is that wisdom is shared with others by way of men speaking. This wisdom flows out of the wise man's mouth like water flowing in a stream. Reviving, refreshing, and sustaining the thirsty soul. And again, notice the difference from previous verses. This is done in love. It's not a matter of, I want to hear myself talk. This is done in love for God and honoring Him in what is spoken, but in love for those around you, those you're speaking to, wanting to meet their needs, not wanting to meet your own. Notice it refers to the words not just as water, but as deep waters. You see, these words are not shallow words. These are not just on the surface pleasant formalities. But these are meaningful, important words. These words have weight behind them. And these words make a big impact. Isn't this truly amazing, what the Lord does with sinful man? Here we are. Life is all about me. And I want to tell you about me. And all I'm thinking about is me and revealing my own mind and pursuing my own desires. And yet, God takes sinful man and He gives us His wisdom. And He transforms us. So that then we speak, and it's not all about us. We speak His wisdom. We honor Him. We meet others' needs with the words that we speak. And this flows from our mouth. Again, not that we don't exercise restraint. Certainly we must. But this is an amazing blessing. This is an amazing thing that the Lord does. We who hated him, who would not honor him, who fought against him, now love him and serve him and use our mouth to share God's wisdom with those around us. So point one was that wisdom is a rich, abundant blessing. And point two is that Christians share this blessing of wisdom with those around them. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. So in conclusion, we've seen this great contrast between the first three verses and then the fourth. We see the selfish desires of men seeking to do their own thing, seeking to reveal their own mind, seeking to fight against God. And all of these certainly show a love of self. But then there's verse 4. And here we see it, we saw a different picture. When Jesus Christ is your life, it changes everything. It changes everything. You see, you are no longer the center of your attention. You are no longer on the throne of your life. But he is on the throne. And so, with all of our life, with all of the words we speak, we seek to honor him. And this wisdom that is not our own is what we share with others. It's God's wisdom. And it's amazing that God does this, that God can use us in this way. And so you speak of Christ and his wisdom. You don't desire to reveal your own mind to others, but you desire to reveal Christ to others. And so what else would we talk about? I mean, where else would we be this morning? But here. Because Christ is our life. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you so much. Lord, we have been that fool, fighting against you, dishonoring you. Seeking all our own desires. But Lord, you have not left us there. Lord, we thank you so much for the work that you have done. Lord, we thank you for the ways that you have used your people in our lives. Speaking your wisdom, sharing you with us. And Lord, we ask that you would continue, that you would use us in meeting the needs of those around us. Lord, that we would honor you in how we live, in what we do, in what we say. that we would be revealing Christ to those around us. Lord, we thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.